Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm into my third week of teaching about knowing God. I tell you, this is a very important subject, something I've been emphasizing, and I tell you, this is really the goal of salvation. It's not to get your sins forgiven and avoid hell. And I know that some people just may be totally shocked, say, well, what is it, knowing God? And getting your sins forgiven and avoiding hell is a wonderful benefit. And I guess in the long run, that's going to be, the most lasting thing. And certainly we're going to spend more time in eternity than we do here on the earth. But the scripture says, and I've already used these verses, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus defined everlasting life in John 17:3 as knowing God. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:8, that he counts all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. Then in verse 10 he says, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, knowing God is not something that is fulfilled by just getting your sins forgiven and a ticket to heaven. But then there is a progressive, deeper revelation of who God is. And I could truthfully say that one of the reasons that so many people are having problems and struggling physically, emotionally, financially, in all of these areas is because they don't know God. Ephesians 3:19, that we might know him, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's talking about that we might experience the love of God, which passes mere knowledge about it. And then when that happens, we are filled with all the fullness of God. If we don't have the fullness of God manifest in our life, then according to Ephesians 3:19, it's because we don't really experientially know God. So that's what I've been talking about. And the last few days, I've been using 2 Corinthians 4, the last few verses of 4, and then into 5, to say that we have to know God by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And in the context, the Apostle Paul is talking about knowing God. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. Faith is how you relate to God. And then yesterday, I went all the way back to Adam and Eve and showed that Adam and Eve had a sixth sense. They walked by faith. And when they ate of the tree, that sixth sense, this ability to see with your heart, began to be lost. And instead, the ability to see with your eyes began to be dominant. And then I contrasted that with 2 Kings 6:16, 17, and 18, where Elisha said, those that be with us are more than those that be with them. And he prayed that the Lord would open up his servant's eyes. And this man who was carnal and was only looking with his physical eyes at the physical problems and situations, all of a sudden his heart, the eyes of his heart were opened up, and he saw the angels of God surrounding them on the mountains, and they had total deliverance. I'm just trying to get across that there is a spiritual world that exists that most people, even most Christians, do not really acknowledge on a practical, experiential basis. And we walk only by what we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. We get discouraged because something happens in the natural, and we miss all of the encouragement that is available to us through God and in the spiritual realm. We don't think on who we are in Christ because you can't see that in the mirror. Instead, we go by what we feel in our physical body and what somebody has said about us and things like this. That's what the Bible calls carnal, and you cannot know God operating that way. Here's another way of saying what I'm trying to get across. The number one thing that I believe is hindering us from knowing God better is our own five senses, our awareness of the physical realm, or I could probably be more accurate to say our being dominated by the physical realm. Because God is a spirit. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How clear can you get that? God isn't physical. Now, he is, you know, I don't even know what the proper words for this is. When Jesus rose from the dead, he says, touch me and feel me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. Jesus had tangibility. Somehow or another, you could touch him. But it wasn't just physical. That same body could just appear in a room. It could go through closed doors. It could zip from place to place. It could appear and disappear. It was tangible in a sense, but not physical in the sense that this physical body is. So God is real, but he is a spirit. And you can't perceive God and truly come to know God only in physical, tangible ways. And I believe that this is the number one hindrance is because we have de-evolved to the place that we are just totally dominated by our five senses. And our lifestyle today, I believe, is making us more carnal, more dominated by our five senses than possibly any other generation of Christians that ever lived, because we live in such a visible society. What I'm talking about is we have movies, television, iPods, all of these things that are just constantly drawing our attention to the physical realm. And, you know, through movies today, we are portraying things that people used to have to imagine. They would have to sit down and dream about stuff, about somebody flying or doing all of these things or science fiction type stuff. They would have to imagine that in their mind. But now we can literally see that portrayed, and I'm not sharp enough to be able to look at it and tell that it isn't real. You can't. It doesn't look fake. It looks real. It looks like all of these spaceships going places are actual reality, when the truth is it's just their ability to manipulate things. So what I'm saying is we get so captivated by this, we are so sense-dominated, that I believe past generations that didn't have access to all of this, you know, they didn't have television piped into their home. They didn't have radio at one time. They didn't have all of these things. They weren't traveling. They weren't as busy. People would sit out on the porch after a day's work sometimes and look, and they would just begin to think. And they would begin to get in touch with, you know, this little nagging voice on the inside that, is this all there is to life? Isn't there something more? They used to give place to stuff like that. Today, we are so dominated that people just, they never get in a car without turning on the radio. They're always listening to something. They are constantly being dominated. We can numb ourselves to that still, small voice, this sixth sense on the inside of us that's trying to put us in touch with God. And I really believe that we possibly are more carnal because we have more carnal input coming at us than any generation of people that have ever lived. But the Apostle Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. And in the context, he was talking about he believed that if he died, that his body, there would be a new body waiting for him. There wasn't any physical guaranteed proof of that, but it was something he perceived in his heart. It was something that was a revelation from God with ample proof, but spiritual proof, things that basically had to be accepted by faith. And, you know, I'm going through this slower than what I intended, so just for time's sake, I'm going to skip a few verses. But he just keeps saying this thing over and over and over in different ways. And he comes down to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, and he says, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. The wording of this is awkward in the King James. Some people just kind of pass over this. But basically, he was just talking about that we walk by faith. Up in the fourth chapter, I started with these verses that he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The Apostle Paul said the way he was able to triumph over all of the adversity that came his way is because he was seen by faith. He wasn't just seeing the physical problems that he had, but he was seeing his reward in heaven. He was seeing God. He knew God and had a relationship with God. As he said over in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 10, he talked about knowing the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. All of the hardship he was going through, the Lord just was there to comfort him, and he was perceiving that, and he was in relationship with God, and because of it, it shrunk his problems down to nothing. And this is what he's talking about. He says, I'm seeing things with my heart that you can't see with your physical eyes. And then he just keeps saying that and brings it all the way down to where, henceforth, we don't know any man after the flesh. We've known Christ after the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore. You know what he was, if we could understand what he was saying, if we could begin to start using our heart, and if we could know people heart to heart, if we could get to know them on the inside, what they're really like, you know what? It would change so many things. For one thing, there wouldn't be prejudice based on color of skin. That is a total carnal thing. That has nothing to do. The Bible says that all of our hearts have been fashioned alike. We are all made in the image of God. Once you get below the pigment of the skin, the color of your skin has zippo, zilch, nada to do with who you really are. If we knew people after the Spirit, if we knew them the way that Paul is talking about, that would eliminate prejudice. Prejudice not only of color of skin, but there are some people that immediately judge a person based on how they're dressed and how they present themselves. And, these things exist. I mean, I can't say that I'm totally void of those things myself. If I was walking down a dark alley and saw somebody with a gun in their hand and a knife in another hand and wearing all of this black and all of the typical things that go with gangs or something, you know what? You do make a judgment, and sometimes you need to do those kind of things for your own protection. But technically speaking, you can't judge a person based on just how they dress, how they comb their hair, how they do these kind of things. The Apostle Paul says, we know no man after the flesh. Some people say, but how do you know? You've got to go by these things. No, there is an ability to know a person beyond just physical, natural things. You can know a person heart to heart. You know, I, again, don't claim that I've arrived in these areas, but I've left. And I could give you a lot of examples. I remember one time an employee who had been a very faithful employee, was a good friend of mine, and they just got to where they were sloughing off. They were skipping work. They were on a hourly pay, and they just weren't doing their job. And you know what? I got to looking at what they had done, and it was a repeat offense. It wasn't an isolated deal. It over a month or two, they just got to where they were taking more and more advantage, skipping out, getting their hair cut, going out, being gone for an hour and a half for lunch instead of 30 minutes, and just different things. And yet they were still claiming to be working 40 hours, and it was a pattern that was getting worse and worse. And, you know, I was looking at that, and my first reaction was to go in and just deal with them based on these actions, looking after the flesh, dealing with the external. But as I prayed about it, the Lord just reminded me how faithful this person had been, how they were a quality person. This was really a total departure from the way that they had been for years. And so instead of me going in and just saying, look at this, I did point out that, you know what, this is what caused me to come in and sit down and talk to you, is you're doing this, and that's not right. It's wrong. But then I just said, I know you, and this is not you. This is not the way you've been. And see, I begin to relate to this person beyond their actions, and I begin to talk to them based on what I knew about them in their heart. And I said, what's going on with you? Why are you doing this? There's bound to be something bothering you. And anyway, long story, but the end of it is that they admitted that there were some serious problems. They wouldn't divulge what it was, but they said they were dealing with some things. They were sorry. They were wrong. It would change. We never had another problem. I mean, that person worked for me another year or two and never had another problem. And later on, he did wind up getting a divorce, and I really think that that's what was going on. He was just struggling, and he let those personal problems get to him. But as soon as I talked to him, see, I could have just dealt with him, and I could have made the situation worse. He was probably feeling condemned, and I could have just piled on and made it worse. But instead of dealing with him after the flesh, I went below the surface to what's going on the inside of you. And man, it caused him to come back and start functioning and acting properly. And man, he was just a tremendous employee and a great blessing to our ministry. And that's just a small example. There's a lot of examples I could give, but I'm trying to illustrate that the Apostle Paul, see, didn't know God just based on external things. He didn't wait until he heard an audible voice to say, God is with me, until he felt a goosebump going up and down his spine. He knew some things intuitively in his heart. The Word revealed it, and he believed it by faith. And the Apostle Paul was walking with God by faith. And he says, not only do I walk with God, but I don't know any man after the flesh. This is also the way that we're supposed to come to know people. You know, again, I could just keep saying this over and over, but real quickly, let me just use this. One of the reasons that some of you who watch this program receive so well and you write in and say, man, this has affected me more than any other program, any other preaching I've ever listened to. And people don't always know how to explain it. But you know what I'm doing? I'm talking from my heart. I'm not just talking from my intellect. These aren't just things that I've learned. These are things that I've lived and experienced. And I'm talking from my heart, and I am depending on the anointing of the Holy Spirit to help me go past your intellect and touch you on a heart level. And I really believe that one of the things that makes our program different than some other programs is the fact that it's communicating on a heart level, heart to heart, whereas a lot of other things, there's a lot of glitter, there's a lot of emotionalism, there's a lot of excitement, which all of those things in their place are okay. We are physical and we do have emotions. But I'm saying that very seldom do you have people that go beyond all of this and try and reach you in the heart and deal with the root of things. And this is why some of you are making a connection and you're feeling a connection with this program, is because it's moving beyond just our five senses, just your intellect, and we're relating to each other on a heart-to-heart basis. The Apostle Paul said this is the way that he knew every person. He didn't evaluate anybody just on external things. When Paul was arrested and brought before Festus and Agrippa and all of these people, you know, these people were basically the enemies of God. They had killed Christians. They were the Roman, employees, or that's not what I'm trying to think of, but they were Roman authorities that had persecuted Christians. They were antagonistic. I remember Festus even said, you're mad. Much learning has made you mad. And yet he turned right around and talked to Festus and went ahead and ministered to him and showed the love of God. He wasn't just responding to his outward man, to the physical things that he did, but by exactly the things he's talking about right here. He was seeing things that couldn't be seen with just your physical eyes. He was operating in the spiritual realm. He knew that this Roman officer had a spiritual being on the inside of him, the same as the Apostle Paul did, and he knew that the Holy Spirit could touch him, and he was dealing with this person heart to heart. Again, I could just say this over and over, but this would solve so many problems if we would get over our prejudices, over looking at the way somebody's dressed, over, you know, what the color of their skin and what kind of house they live in. And if we just got to where we started relating to people heart to heart and realizing, like Paul said here, that we don't know any man after the flesh, it would solve a lot of problems. And then the Apostle Paul made this statement, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now this is one awesome statement, and I'm not going to be able to finish this on today's program. I'll just give a tease, and then the rest of this week I'm going to be talking about this. But you know, the Apostle Paul, there is no record in Scripture that the Apostle Paul saw Jesus during his earthly ministry. The first time Scripture records Paul seeing Jesus was on the road to Damascus. This was after Jesus was already resurrected and seated at the Father's right hand. And actually, all he saw was a blinding flash of light as bright as the sun at noonday, and he heard an audible voice of Jesus speaking to him. Now, scripturally, that's all that's revealed. But Paul here says that he knew Christ after the flesh at one time, but now, henceforth, knowing him no more. You know, I don't know if he is speaking kind of vicariously for talking about all mankind, all of the apostles, talking about they knew him in the flesh, but now we as Christians don't know him. I believe it's possible, probably even probable, that the apostle Paul had seen Jesus in his physical body when he was walking here on the earth. The apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2 that he was brought up in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel, who is one of the leading Pharisees. And so Paul was a resident of Jerusalem. It also says that when he was going from Jerusalem to Damascus to arrest the Christians. So Paul lived in Jerusalem. And it really is inconceivable that a religious figure living in Jerusalem would not have been aware of Jesus and the stir that he was making, would not have seen him crucified, would not have heard him sometime or another. There's many instances in scriptures where the scribes and the Pharisees would come and listen to Jesus to oppose him and to criticize him. I believe that Paul could have been one of those people. And so when he says that we've known Christ after the flesh, I believe that probably he's talking about himself, that he had seen Jesus in his physical body when he was here on the earth. But you know what? He could have, if somebody would have said, "Do you know Jesus?" He could have said, "Oh yeah, I saw him." He could have told you the color of his eyes. He could have told you the color of his hair. He could have told you how tall he was, what his weight was. He knew him in just a physical way. But Paul certainly, this is beyond dispute, did not really know who Jesus was. Anything that Paul knew about Jesus was physical or natural, but he didn't know who he was in the Spirit. And the same thing was true of his disciples. Even the disciples did not really know Jesus, even though they believed on him and they believed and said he was the Christ. They didn't really perceive who he was. And all of this makes a point that I've already made before on these programs talking about knowing God. But there are degrees of knowing God. You can know God to a degree and yet not really recognize the depth of who He is. And the disciples, when Jesus was here on this earth, they believed that He was the Christ. The Apostle Peter said that very clearly in Matthew chapter 16. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And yet in just minutes after that, he turned around and rebuked Jesus for saying something, and Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." He knew God in one sense, he knew Jesus in one sense, but then in another sense, he didn't know Jesus well enough to understand what was necessary for Jesus to bring salvation, and he got rebuked for it. And so we're going to be talking the rest of this week about how you can really know God by the Spirit more than you can know Him by the physical. And I tell you, this is going to really, really help you. Again, I